Luke 19 and verse 1, a small man in a big crowd, one-on-one with Jesus. It says, Jesus entered Jericho, and he was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see Jesus since he was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, I want everyone to say the spot. We're going to talk about the significance of that spot. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed Jesus gladly. All the people saw this and began to grumble. He has gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay him back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. For the last few weeks, we've been traveling through the Gospel of Luke together, looking at one-on-one encounters with Jesus. We've looked at six of them so far, and finally, we come to Zacchaeus. This is the last one-on-one encounter in the ministry of Jesus, and that makes it supremely important. Zacchaeus is a model disciple. He models what is the correct approach to Jesus and what is the correct response to Jesus' call. And as I look at the story of Zacchaeus this morning, I hear the Holy Spirit saying four things to us, and I want to share those with you quickly. Four things that I hear the Holy Spirit saying. The first is this: Jesus must. Jesus must. I want you to say that with me. Jesus must. Jesus looked up at Zacchaeus and he said something unexpected. Zacchaeus, get down here immediately. I must stay at your house today. How rude. Jesus didn't drop a hint. He didn't say, hey, dude, let's go hang out at your place. He didn't say, may I come over? He didn't say, I'd like to come by at your convenience. Jesus said, get down here immediately. I must stay at your house. We've encountered this special little word must already in the Gospel of Luke. Must means it's God's will. Must means God has purposed it. God has predetermined it. He has planned it out. When Jesus began to predict his passion to the disciples, he said, the Son of Man must be handed over into the hands of sinful man. He must suffer many things and on the third day raise again. Must means that Jesus wasn't handed over by Judas. He wasn't handed over by the Jewish officials to the Roman authorities. Must means that Jesus was handed over by his own Father into the hands of sinful men to be crucified. When Jesus encountered a twisted sister on the Sabbath day, the ruler of the synagogue said, she must come another day. It's not God's will for her to be healed on the Sabbath day. It's not God's will today, any other day but today. Beloved, can I tell you, that's what dead religion always says, any other day but today. Jesus heals any other day but today. He delivers, he rescues, he restores any other day but today. But Jesus said, no, this daughter of Abraham, she has suffered for 18 years. She must be untied today from her spirit of infirmity. She must be loosed today. She must be untangled today. And she was. Jesus looked at Zacchaeus up in the tree and he said, Zacchaeus, I must come to your house today. It's God's will that I come stay with you today. It's God's will that I come establish a bond of friendship with you today that will change your whole life. It's God's will that I come invade your home today and change the atmosphere of your whole house. It's God's will that I come and meet the innermost need of your soul for significance and security. I must come. It's God's will that I come today. Beloved, there's something the Holy Spirit wants to say today. Jesus must do something today. Jesus must meet someone today. He must have a one-on-one encounter with someone today. He must come to stay in someone's heart today. He must initiate a transforming friendship with someone today. He must invade someone's life, someone's home today. He must meet someone's innermost need today. See, Jesus, he must save, he must heal, he must deliver, he must untangle, he must untie, he must rescue. Jesus must touch someone today. He must. Jesus must, because it's his very nature. Like the loving Father who scanned the horizon day after day, waiting for a glimpse of his prodigal son, the very essence of Jesus' loving nature is to seek and to save what is lost. Jesus must, because it's his character. Like the diligent woman who lit her lamp and swept meticulously and searched thoroughly until she found that lost coin, Jesus' character is to never give up until he seeks and saves what is lost. Jesus must, because it's his mission, it's his job, like the loving, diligent shepherd who left the 99 sheep and went and searched until he found the lost one and brought it home. Jesus' mission, his job, is to seek and to save the lost. By the way, Luke 19:10 is the interpretive key for the entire Gospel of Luke. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost. You see, Jesus must, because it's who he is. Is and what he does. Beloved, Jesus can't leave the lost lost. He can't leave the broken broken. He can't leave the oppressed oppressed. He can't leave the lonely alone. He can't leave the sick sick. You see, Jesus cannot simply pass by and do nothing. He must do something for somebody. To the crowd, Jesus was just passing by. They didn't realize there was something he must do, someone he must find, somewhere he must stay. This story is not about Zacchaeus seeking Jesus. This story is about Jesus seeking someone for whom he could do what he must. I have a question from the Holy Spirit for you this morning. If there's something that Jesus must do today, why not let him do it for you? Beloved, may a spirit of faith fill your heart to overflowing right now. Jesus, if you must, then let it be for me. If you must do something, if you must help someone, if you must give breakthrough, then let it be for me. Jesus must. Four things the Holy Spirit is saying. A second thing is this. Down is up in the kingdom of God. Down is up in the kingdom of God. Zacchaeus' whole life was a paradox. He was a man of tremendous wealth, but he was physically small in stature. He was powerful, but he was despised. He was feared and not loved. In Jericho, he was more infamous than famous. Zacchaeus was the chief tax collector in a wildly prosperous city. The whole tax collecting operation was crooked, and it was structured like a pyramid scheme, and Zacchaeus was the guy at the top of the pyramid. All of the money flowed up to him. He was at the top of the heap financially, but socially, he was at the bottom of the pile. He was a Jewish traitor. He was a sellout to Rome. an oppressor of his own people, and he was a dirty thief to boot. Big money, little man. Big power, little popularity. You know, he was caught in a vicious cycle. He was searching for significance. He wanted to be accepted. He wanted to be treated with dignity. He wanted to be welcomed, acknowledged, approved. But all of his efforts to gain stature only made people think less and less of him. The more he craved acceptance, the more he extorted money. The more wealthy he became, the more he was despised. See, the harder and harder he tried, the further and further away he got from what he desired the most. How many people today are like Zacchaeus? The harder they work in life, the harder they try, the harder they strive, the farther and farther away they get from the fulfillment that they desire the most. As Jesus passed through Jericho, the crowd probably took perverse pleasure in closing ranks so that he couldn't get a glimpse of Jesus. You know, for any other man of stature in the community, the crowd most certainly would have parted and let him pass through to the front. But they thought it was funny to shut short little Zacchaeus out. Ha ha, look at the poor little rich guy. He can't see. Zacchaeus was a small man in a big crowd. But he had one thing going for him. He really wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to see, Luke says, he wanted to see who Jesus was. Who is this man from Galilee? With just two words, follow me, he convinced Matthew, his tax collecting colleague, to leave his cushy job and to join him on the road with itinerant ministry. Who was this man who wielded that kind of influence over the hearts of others? He wanted to know. He wanted to see Jesus so badly that he was willing to do anything to see him, even sacrifice his dignity. He was about to learn one of the most important paradoxes of the kingdom of God. Down is up in the kingdom of God. See, Zacchaeus is a model disciple. He models the correct way to approach Jesus, full of earnest desire, full of faith, initiative, and humility. There was a massive crowd in Jericho that day, but only one man had an encounter with Jesus. Jesus passed by all the rest, but he went to stay with Zacchaeus. And as I look at Zacchaeus, I find some clues about who gets a one-on-one encounter with Jesus. Who is it that gets to experience a one-on-one encounter with Jesus? First, I find it's those who run in the direction that Jesus is moving. Who gets a one-on-one encounter? Those who run in the direction that Jesus is moving. Zacchaeus saw the direction Jesus was moving, and he ran that way. You know, since this visitation started 5 weeks ago, it's interesting to me who has come, who has not, and who has run to get here. This last week alone, we had pastors visiting from Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Tennessee, Kansas City, had a pastor from Washington State. We had a pastor from Australia visiting this week. And of course, New York City and Connecticut. On Friday night, we had a woman who drove 4 hours in excruciating pain, asking God for a healing. And you know what? When she left, she was healed. The only bummer is I missed it because I got zapped again by the Holy Spirit on Friday night. And I was down on the floor for 2 hours. I missed the whole thing. It's interesting to me who hasn't come. People that I've prayed for years, for revival in Fairfield County and Connecticut. We've prayed together, but they didn't come. I guess maybe revival didn't come where or when or how they thought it would. But you know, I love the people who have run to get here. They heard that Jesus was moving, so they came in this direction as fast as they could. Our friend, Pastor Brian Simmons, who got on a plane and flew from Hawaii because he heard that Jesus was moving here. How many of you know that's love for Jesus to leave Hawaii and come because you heard he was moving here? My friend, Pastor Mario Zelenis from Old Saybrook, Connecticut, and Pastor Eric Bucci from Cheshire, Connecticut, who were here on the second and third night. They heard that Jesus was moving and they came this direction as fast as they could get here. Pastor Judy Shaw, who got on a plane from South Dakota with a face swollen like a basketball from an abscessed tooth, but she heard that Jesus was moving here, and she came in this direction as fast as she could. Intercessors from Walnut Hill Church in Bethel, my mom and my aunt from Philadelphia and their pastor, and so many hungry people from all over. They heard that Jesus was moving here, and they came just because they love to be wherever he is. You know, it's funny, Philip, since this visitation began, I've literally gotten hundreds of Facebook messages and emails and lots of offers from preachers I don't know to come and preach. You know, I'm not really interested in them. I'm really interested in the ones who ran to get here because they just had to be where Jesus was moving. Who gets a one-on-one encounter with Jesus? Those who run the direction he's moving, and those who rise above the obstacles that block their view of him. The crowd was blocking Zacchaeus' view of Jesus. In fact, they probably thought it was hilarious that he was shut out and he couldn't see. So he ran away from them and he climbed a tree to rise above them. I wonder, what's crowding out your view of Jesus? What's standing in the way of your seeking him? What's standing in the way of your fixing your eyes upon him while he's passing by in this unprecedented season of visitation? What could possibly be more important than casting your eyes on Jesus? What could possibly be more important than discovering who he is? Is your weekly schedule more important than seeking Jesus? Your organized, perfectly put together life, or maybe your jam-packed schedule that's packed so full that there's just no room for seeking Jesus in it. If your schedule's too busy to seek Jesus, you ought to lose your schedule. Is entertainment more important than seeking Jesus? Dancing with the ding-dongs? American idolatry? You know what? I got to tell you, the bachelor and the bachelorette, those are the two of the most demeaning. Who would have so little self-esteem for themselves that they would be in a competition for somebody's affection? It's just humiliating and disgraceful and demeaning. Turn that garbage off and seek Jesus. Working overtime more important than seeking Jesus? We've had a med student from New Jersey here night after night after night. He got baptized in the Holy Spirit, I think, on the second night of our meetings. And when he told me he was in med school, I'm like, man, what are you doing here night after night? You're in med school. And he said to me, Pastor Glenn, he said, God will help me with my exams. He said, what could be better than to be in the presence of Jesus? See, he understands what it means to be a Mary. He's chosen the best part. I wonder if Jesus really meant it when he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then everything else will be added to you. What things will be added to you? The financial success and security that you're looking for, the provision, the peace. I understand what makes that med student tick. I made the same choice when I was in my second year of Bible college in Maine. We had an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, a lot like this one. Started on a Tuesday night. Pastor Kevin, the teenagers, prayed every Tuesday night in the church prayer room. And one Tuesday night, the Holy Spirit came down upon them in a cloud of glory. Word got out. that something was happening in the prayer room at Charleston Church. You know what's really awesome? When the Holy Spirit begins moving, you don't have to hire a PR agent. The Holy Spirit sets a megaphone in the heavenlies and people just somehow hear the word. People began to hear something's happening down at the prayer room, and so they got in their cars and drove to the church. And when they got to the threshold of the prayer room, one person and another, as soon as they hit the threshold, they collapsed face first on the floor. The ushers were dragging them into the corners of the room, and after a couple of hours, there was no room for any more bodies, so they dragged everybody into the main sanctuary, and there began a revival that went night after night after night for months and months. There was a little Methodist church down the road from the big Pentecostal church, a congregation of maybe 40 or 50 people, and the pastor got slammed, and the Holy Spirit told his congregation to come. The entire congregation got filled with the Holy Spirit. They shut down the Methodist church, and they just all assimilated into the Pentecostal congregation. They kept the little Methodist building for a house of prayer on the weeknights. Holy Spirit fell in the public high school. The senior class, the pastor got a call from the principal one morning. He said, I need you to come down here. Something's happened and we don't know what to do. While there were a group of students in the classroom, the Holy Spirit came down in the classroom and all the kids started weeping. And the students from Charleston Church got up and started going around and laying their hands on their classmate. And the teacher didn't know what to do, so she shut the door and ran to the principal's office. The principal called the pastor, and the pastor came and sat in a chair for hours while the Holy Spirit just visited all those students. How many of you know that's revival? It was springtime in Maine. That means the snowpack was reduced from 5 feet to 3 feet. But it was exam time. It was paper time, writing research papers, but I remember I couldn't stay away. I had to be where Jesus was moving. I had to be where God was doing things. I couldn't stay away. Night after night, I went every night. Night after night, I stayed till midnight, and then I'd go back to my dorm room, and I'd stay up most of the night catching up on the homework that I had missed because I was in church. The little Pentecostal Bible school that I attended ran on a faith paradigm. There was no tuition. All the students were assigned duties on the campus. We ran the campus and we got together in the chapel and prayed every morning that God would provide our daily bread, and he did. That particular semester, my duty was kitchen cleanup. And so in the evening, after the evening meal was served, I'd have to go into the kitchen and I'd have to clean the entire commercial kitchen and wash all the pots and pans that had accumulated from the day from serving about 300 people, breakfast and lunch and dinner. So I was late for the services every night. And after I got done cleaning the kitchen, I had to walk about 2 miles down the road to where the church was. And I remember one night in particular. So I was walking down the road. They had opened the windows of the church. It was cold out, but there was over 1,000 people jammed into the church building. So they opened the windows to let the cold air in, and I could hear the music pouring out of the church. They were singing, "What a Fellowship, What a Joy Divine, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms." And I remember when I heard the music, I took off running as fast as I could down to the church because I had to get there. I didn't want to miss just not a single minute of what God was doing in that place. Beloved, can I tell you, that's the kind of passion for Jesus that makes Jesus stop in his tracks. That's the kind of faith initiative. That's the kind of hunger that makes him decide to stay. When Zacchaeus ran down the road and climbed up a tree to see Jesus, it was a faith initiative, like the four friends who carried their paralyzed buddy. When they couldn't get in the door, they found an outdoor staircase and they made a hole in the roof, like the bleeding woman who snuck up behind Jesus to touch him, like the Syrophoenician woman who matched wits with Jesus and persuaded him with her words, like blind Bartimaeus who cried and then cried louder. Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus, and he was determined that nothing was going to stand in his way. I can't really remember whether my grades suffered or not that semester from attending those services, but I suppose it doesn't really matter. I'm pretty sure I'm a better pastor now because I went night after night after night. from now on, that's the way I'm going to live. Running in whatever direction he's moving. Rising above whatever obstacles block my view of him. Who gets a one-on-one encounter with Jesus? Those who run in the direction he's moving. Those who rise above the obstacles that block their view of him. And those who jump down from the spectator stands and look up to Jesus. The man whose entire life was a paradox was about to learn a kingdom paradox. Down is up in the kingdom of heaven. Despised though he was, it was outrageously undignified behavior for a man of Zacchaeus' stature to run down the road and climb a tree. Grown men didn't do those things. Wealthy men didn't skip down the road and climb trees. Government officials, chief tax collectors didn't comport themselves that way. I remember when everything first broke out, I had so much fun processing it with my kids. I asked them, I said, when you saw Daddy lying on the floor up here, I said, were you scared? And the kids said, no, Daddy, we weren't scared. I said, were you embarrassed? And my little 7-year-old daughter, Lauren, said, Daddy, she said, we knew it was the Holy Spirit. She said, you're not the type of man to do silly things. See, Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus so badly. He didn't care how silly he appeared to anybody. He wanted to know who Jesus was so badly that he didn't care about looking foolish. His earnest, listen, may God give you grace, his earnest desire, his expectation, the initiative of his faith and his humility all created a spot where he could meet Jesus. Beloved, if you want to know what this outpouring of the Holy Spirit is, it is a spot under the canopy of a sycamore tree where one-on-one encounters with Jesus are possible. And when Jesus reached that spot that was created by Zacchaeus' own desire, he looked up at him and he said, Zacchaeus, come down here immediately. And Zacchaeus jumped down from his spectator's perch and he stood in front of Jesus. Listen, he went from looking down on Jesus to looking up at Jesus. Every night during worship in these evening services, there's a moment when I ask everyone present to get out of their seats and come down here to the front and lift their faces to the Lord. People don't like it. People get very territorial about their seat. Listen, it's not your seat, it's my seat, all right? They don't want to give up their seat. They don't want to move. They don't want to be told to move. Pastor Glenn, can I worship in my seat? Yes. You can worship in your seat, but you can worship much better down here. Why? Because that simple shift from your seat to the altar creates a shift in your focus. The shift in your position creates a shift in your heart. You move from being an onlooker to being an uplooker, and that's good. You move from being a spectator to being a supplicant. Zacchaeus desperately, desperately desired stature. He desired to be accepted, to be liked, to be treated with dignity. What he learned was that the way to go up is to get down. Never mind who's looking at you. Never mind about maintaining dignity. Stop spectating and become a supplicant. Beloved, Jesus' word to you is get down here immediately. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, so that he can lift you up. Sometimes when we're ministering to people at the altar, I can feel their resistance because they don't want to lose control. They don't want to look silly. They don't want to lose dignity. When I was studying at the Assemblies of God, by the way, y'all know you joined a Pentecostal church, right? Surprise, if you just thought we were a nice little evangelist, surprise, we're Pentecostal. Surprise. We try to be as explicit as we can about that so that nobody's shocked. When I was studying at the Assemblies of God Theological Seminary, the revivals that were going on in Toronto and Pensacola, Florida, arrived in Springfield, Missouri. And I remember one night in particular, we were in a huge service with Benny Hinn. And at one point in the service, about 2,500 people in the auditorium were simultaneously slain in the Holy Spirit. They all went down. He lifted his hand. He said, "I see a mist over this side of the auditorium." And he said the word "touch." And 2,500 people went over all at once with no catchers. And all the catchers said, "Amen." And right after that moment, Benny wheeled around on the platform, and behind him were all the executives of the Assemblies of God. Our general superintendent and the assistant superintendent and the general treasurer and secretary, all the muckety-mucks, all the officials. And when Benny Hinn, after he dropped half the auditorium, when he wheeled around, they all started backing up in terror, literally. And our seminary president dropped to his knees. And later on, he repented to the student body in our chapel. He said, "I dropped to my knees because I was afraid I was going to fall, and I was too proud to fall on the ground in front of all those people." Beloved, listen to me. Jesus is looking to come and to stay with people who want him so badly that they don't care about how silly they might look to others. Get down here immediately, so that he can lift you up. Zacchaeus is a model disciple. In his response to Jesus, when Jesus called him, he immediately jumped down. Peter and Andrew left their nets. James and John left their boats. They left their poor father Zebedee sitting all alone in the boat, all skumbari. Matthew left his toll booth. The woman at the well left her pitcher. Blind Bartimaeus left his cloak beside him on the road. And when Jesus called Zacchaeus, he jumped down. He immediately obeyed. He immediately said yes. Just like Abraham, the father of all who live by faith. You see, that's why Jesus said, "Today, this man has become a son of Abraham by faith." When God called Abraham, Abraham immediately said yes. And when God called Zacchaeus, he immediately said yes and jumped down. And listen, when Zacchaeus jumped down, Jesus lifted him up. Jesus, the Master, the healer, the savior, the teacher. Jesus changed Zacchaeus' reputation in that moment in front of the whole city. He said to the crowd, "Stop grumbling against this man. Here is a true son of Abraham by faith." When Zacchaeus jumped down, Jesus gave him stature. The Holy Spirit wants to know, will you jump down? Will you jump down in order to be lifted up? Will you create a spot under the canopy of the sycamore tree by your earnest desire, by your faith initiative, by your humility? Will you create a spot where Jesus can stop and do what he must do? Four things the Holy Spirit is saying today. Third, this. Jesus is visiting to make deposits that remain. You doing okay out there? All right, I know it's Father's Day. I know you got plans. I got plans too, but we're almost there, all right? Third thing the Holy Spirit is saying, Jesus is visiting to make deposits that remain. Jesus said to Zacchaeus, "Get down here. I must stay at your house today." That word "stay" means to abide. It means to remain indefinitely. Beloved, can I tell you that there's a point to all of this? There's a point to these nightly services. There's a point to leaving your seat and coming down here to worship. There's a point to receiving the word of God. Wow, what incredible, amazing, anointed preaching and prophetic ministry we've had this week. It's been off the hook. There's a point to the ministry time. There's a point to the one-on-one encounters that people have been having in the presence of God. Jesus is visiting because he wants to deposit some things that will remain. I don't know how long these special services will go on. I don't know how long we'll continue to meet. What I told the Lord is, Lord, as long as the Holy Spirit's moving and people are hungry, we'll keep coming. I don't know how much longer that might last or might not last, but I will tell you this. Jesus has come to deposit some things that will remain forever. Jesus wants to deposit abiding joy. Jesus got to the spot where hungry, humble Zacchaeus was waiting, and Jesus called his name. That's cool. Jesus knew his name. He was his maker, his creator, the God of the universe. He knew Zacchaeus' name. Zacchaeus wanted to discover who Jesus was. Jesus already knew who Zacchaeus was. He knew his name and he knew his game, yet he still wanted him. Jesus loved him. Jesus accepted him. He treated him with dignity. There's a key for us. I believe that when Jesus said that name, Zacchaeus, all the love of God that had accumulated in his heart over an eternity of waiting was released on Zacchaeus in that moment. Do you know what the Bible says about you? The Bible says God loves you with an everlasting love. That means that there is an accumulation of love for you in the heart of God that has been built up over an entire eternity of waiting for that wonderful moment when he calls your name and all that love is released on you. Zacchaeus' response was pure joy. Joy unspeakable. And full of glory. Somebody likes me. Somebody's interested in me. Somebody in this town actually knows who I am and they still want to be with me. Beloved, while Jesus is visiting, he wants to deposit in you joy that remains, the joy that comes from knowing God and being known by him. The joy that comes from being loved unconditionally by him, being accepted, the significance and the importance, the dignity that comes to your life because you know him. Jesus wants to deposit the joy that comes from being set free from hyper self-consciousness. Oh, there's a joy that comes to your life when you're set free from bondage to others' good opinions. Jesus wants to release on you the joy that comes from being redirected into your God-given identity and destiny. Jesus knew who Zacchaeus was. Oh, he knew. And he also knew who Zacchaeus was created to be. Zacchaeus was not created to be an agent of Roman oppression. He was created to be a son of Abraham. He wasn't created to be a thief. He was created to be pure. That's what his name means. It means innocent. It means pure. And during this one-on-one encounter with Jesus, Jesus redirected his life back to God's original plan. Beloved, somebody listen to me and receive the grace of God. While you were still in your mother's womb, God wrote an original plan for you. God created an identity for you. God charted out a destiny for you. David said it was so. He said, all my days were ordained by you and written in your book before the first one of them came to be. He wrote an original plan for you. Now the devil's job is to push you as far off of that original plan, to push you as far off course as he possibly can. And he's done a pretty good job, hasn't it? You got to give him this. He's good at what he does. But when Jesus comes by and calls your name, he redirects your life into your God-given identity and your God-given destiny, and that releases joy unspeakable and full of glory inside of you. Along with joy, Jesus wants to deposit abiding generosity toward God. In Luke 12, 21, Jesus says, don't store up things for yourself. Be generous toward God. When Zacchaeus met Jesus, he was transformed from a collector to a distributor. He was transformed from hoarding money to handing out money. In Jewish culture, to give away 20% of your wealth was considered the height of generosity. And here, Zacchaeus hilariously gave away 50%. He voluntarily did what the rich young ruler refused to do. Zacchaeus became the rich man who passed through the eye of the needle, the rich man who supernaturally entered through the narrow door of salvation, and his giving was evidence that salvation had come to his heart. It was generosity toward God. Beloved, Jesus is visiting us so that he can deposit in our hearts an abiding generosity toward God. Generous with our money towards God. Generous with our time. Generous with our service. Listen, there's nothing important than belonging to Jesus and working towards his purposes and his goals on the earth. Jesus has come to put an abiding generosity of love and hospitality. I have to tell you the truth. I am blown away by the generosity towards God that I've seen in this place over the last 5 weeks. The worship teams, the musicians, the singers, the people that work on the tech deck night after night after night, here from 7 to past 11, night after night after night, leading us in worship. The security team, the ushers, the catchers, come on, they deserve some appreciation. You know, y'all aren't on the Harvest Time Church payroll. You're not getting paid to come back, but night after night, you work all day, you rush home, you take care of your family, and then you're here night after night after night. Can I tell you something, beloved? That is generosity toward God. That is a good word, Loli. Thank you. It's good preaching right there. I'm preaching myself happy. Joy, generosity toward God, the third thing that Jesus wants to deposit. Listen, this is good right here. An abiding inclination to go the extra mile. An abiding inclination to go the extra mile. Listen to this. Listen, we're almost done. Even after Zacchaeus gave half of everything he owned away, he still had more money than me and you put together. But then he decided to break the bank. He said, Lord, he said, I give away half of everything I own to the poor, and all those that I have cheated, I will repay four times. Now listen to this. May God give you grace. Voluntarily, Zacchaeus imposed upon himself the most stringent penalty that he could under the law. See, he was only required to make restitution and to pay back 20% on top of what he had stolen. But what he did instead was he imposed upon himself the most stringent penalty under the law for cattle rustling. Why did he do that? Was it penance? Was it self-flagellation? Was it out of a sense of guilt and condemnation? No. He imposed on himself the stiffest penalty because he had an inner desire to honor the spirit of the law. In the Sermon on the Mount, we studied it last year. Jesus said, people in my kingdom don't just keep the letter of the law, but they have a natural inclination to honor the spirit of the law. If a soldier, you remember this from last year? If a soldier compels them to walk 1 mile, they walk two. People in my kingdom intuitively understand what is the spirit of the law, and they do it. People in my kingdom don't do the least that they can do. They are naturally inclined to do the most that they can do. They're naturally inclined to do the most that they can do to honor me. to keep my word, to love others, to serve. It is an abiding inclination to go the extra mile. Beloved, these three things, joy and generosity towards God and an abiding inclination to go the extra mile, these are the fruit of repentance that John the Baptist was looking for in Luke chapter 3. It has finally come full circle. And what John the Baptist called for in Luke chapter 3, it is finally displayed in this last one-on-one encounter between Zacchaeus and Jesus. Four things the Holy Spirit is saying today. Melissa, you better come help me. I'm in trouble. Help me. The last thing is this. Didn't Melissa and the team do an awesome job today? It's his family day. It's Vogels and Galates today. And a Fetchy. God bless the Fetchies. Listen, this is the final thing the Holy Spirit wants to say today. What will you do with the deposit that Jesus has given you? Will you bury it or will you build on it? Right after, while Jesus is still with Zacchaeus, they're still together, Jesus goes right into the parable of the 10 talents. You remember that story, right? A king goes away on a long journey, and before he goes, he calls together his servants and he gives them each a talent, a deposit of precious metal. And he says to his servants, pragmatuomai, he says, put this deposit to work until I come. One of the servants built his deposit from 1 pound to 5 pounds. Another servant built his deposit from 1 pound to 10 pounds. But one servant buried his deposit in a napkin. You know that word for napkin, it appears only one other place in the Gospel of Luke. It's the word for the death cloth that was put over the face of Jesus when he was buried in the tomb. So two servants built their deposits, but one of the servants buried his deposit in a death cloth where it produced nothing. Beloved, Jesus is visiting us right now to make a deposit in us that will remain. Don't really know how long special meetings will last, but I can guarantee you at some point they'll stop in 2 or 3 years. I don't know. But Jesus wants to know, what will you do with his deposit? 10 years from now, when you look back on May 2012, will you remember it just as a distant memory of a few weeks of special services? Or will you point to it as a moment of visitation with Jesus that changed the course of your whole life? What will you do with his deposit? A small man in a big crowd, one-on-one with Jesus. Jesus must. Down is up in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus has come to make a deposit. What will you do with it? Will you stand on your feet right now? And will you give praise and glory and honor and blessing to Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Oh, come on, let's give him a big praise today. Come on, let's honor the Father on Father's Day. Let's honor the Father on Father's Day. Come on, let's give him a big praise today. Let's give him a big praise. We honor you, Jesus. We honor you, Jesus. We honor you, Jesus. We honor you, Jesus. Would you lift up your hands and would you say the name of Jesus with me? Come on, just say that wonderful name above every name. Jesus, Jesus, we worship you. Jesus, we honor you. Jesus, we magnify you. Jesus, we glorify you. We give you praise. Jesus, we love you. Come on, Melissa, help us. Love came down and rescued me. Love came down, set me free. I am yours.
I sing out and describe my soul. I am yours. I am.
Come on, love came down.
Oh, love came down, rescued me. Love came down, set me free. I am yours. I am forever.
Mountain high.
Oh, mountain high, valley low. I sing out and remind my soul. I am yours. I am forever.
Sing, I am yours.
I am yours, all my days, Jesus, I am yours. I am yours, I am yours, all my days, Jesus, I am yours.
I'm wondering if you'd do something with me. We're going to go in just a few minutes. I know you're going to go celebrate your dad, and I'm going to go get celebrated, and I can't wait to get celebrated. But I'm wondering if you'd do one thing with me just before we leave this place. I'm wondering if there's someone who just would like to get down with me a little bit, would like to just get out of your seat and come down to this altar and get down before the Lord so that He can lift you up. Just come. Listen, the shift in position creates a shift in your heart. We're going to shift from being an onlooker to an uplooker right now, from being a spectator to being a supplicant. I wonder if you'd come just to present yourself and just say, Jesus, I'm yours. I'm yours. Jesus, I'm yours. I'm yours. Come on, let's sing that right now. I'm yours.
I am yours. All my days. Jesus, I am yours.
Oh, I am yours.
I am yours. I am yours. All my days. Jesus, I.
Come on, make it your prayer. I'm yours.
I am yours. I am yours. All my days. Jesus, I,
come on, I am yours.
I am yours. I am yours. All my days, Jesus, I.
Come on, sing, love came down and rescued me.
Oh, love came down and rescued me. Love came down, set me free. I am yours. I am forever yours. Oh, mountains high, valley low. I sing out and remind my soul. I am yours. I am forever yours.
Come on, I want you to give the Lord a big praise right now. Thank you, oh Lord. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, oh Lord. Now, I just want you to just lift your hands up and lift your face up to the Lord. Come on. Let's move from being an onlooker to an uplooker right now. Just look up to the Lord. Come on, just tell Jesus, I want to see you so much, Jesus. I want to see you more than anything, Jesus. I want to see you. I want to see you. Seeing you is the most important thing to me. Seeing you is the most important thing to me. Come on, what's the obstacle that has crowded out your pursuit of Jesus? What has crowded out your seeking Jesus? What has stood in your way of seeking His face? Come on, if it's your schedule, would you surrender your schedule to Jesus right now? Come on, you don't fit Jesus into your schedule. You fit your schedule around Jesus. Come on, is it work? Is it overtime? Is it entertainment? Is it just the desire to relax a little bit? Come on, what's prevented you from seeking Him? Just rise above that obstacle right now. Just rise above that obstacle right now. Oh God, I pray that you'd give us a runner's heart. God, I pray that you'd make us a running people. Give us fleet feet, Lord, that run in whatever direction that you're moving, oh God. Lord, for the rest of our days, Lord, we're going to run to wherever you're moving. Lord, whatever direction you're going, we're going to get there as fast as we can. Lord, we're going to run, Lord, whatever way you're moving, we're going to run there. And we're going to rise above every obstacle, Lord, that prevents us from seeking you. Come on, lift up your hands. Would you ask Jesus to do what he must do? Listen, Jesus can't pass by. He can't leave it alone. If someone's sick, he can't pass by and leave them sick. If someone's broken, he can't pass by and leave them broken. If someone needs a breakthrough, he can't pass by and not give them their breakthrough. There's something he must do today. He must find someone to help today. He must find someone to deliver today. Come on, why not let it be you? I want you to just say, Jesus, if you must do something, then let it be me. If you must do something, let it be me. Come on, if you must do something today, then let it be me. If you must invade someone's home, then let it be my home. If you must change the atmosphere of someone's house, then let it be my house. If you must change the course of someone's life, then let it be my life. Let it be me. Come on, would you just tell him, let it be me, oh God. Let it be me. Let it be me. Jesus must. He must. He must. It's who he is. It's what he does. It's his nature. It's his character. It's his mission. It's his job. He must. Lift up your hands. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray for every person who struggles with insecurity and insignificance. Father, I pray right now that you would pour the love of God into their hearts by the Holy Spirit. Father, right now I thank you for pouring healing love, Lord, that makes quirky personalities normal, that makes unlovable people lovely, that makes awkward people comfortable and a joy to be with. Jesus, thank you for pouring in by the Holy Spirit the love of God. Thank you for lavishing it in our hearts. Thank you for overflowing love, Lord, that makes us feel accepted and significant and gives us dignity. Lord, I pray that every person in this room would know that he is wanted, that she is wanted. Lift up your hands, Father, right now in Jesus' name. I pray that you would send out a call, that you would call our name, Lord, that releases an eternal accumulation of love over us. And God, that redirects us back on course, Lord, with your identity and your destiny. Lift up your hands. Just say, Lord, redirect me. Redirect me. Put me back on course. Put me back on track with your identity, with your plan for me. Lift up your hands. Jesus, I pray that you'd release healing right now in this place. We speak the word of healing. We release the word. Only say the word and your servant will be healed. Lord, we release the word of healing. Come on, if you need healing in your body somewhere, see, Jesus must. He must. He must. It's God's will. It's who he is and it's what he does. He must. He must do something. If you need a healing in your body, put your hand wherever it is. And right now, Father, we release the word of healing in Jesus' name. We speak the word of deliverance. Untie from spirits of infirmity and affliction. Right now, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, untwist. Untangle. Father, we thank you for renewing minds right now in Jesus' name. Thank you for just changing brains, for rewiring, Lord, brains. Lord, thank you for changing neural pathways, Lord, and the synapses and connections on which thoughts and emotions travel. Jesus. Thank you, O Lord. Thank you, O Lord. Jesus, do what only you can do right now by the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, sing it again. I am yours.
I am yours all my days. Jesus, I am yours.
Tell him,
I am yours.
I am yours
all my days. Jesus, I am yours.
Come on, give him one more big praise of this place. Thank you, O Lord. 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 Wow, what a good God he is, huh? What a wonderful Savior. I feel sorry for people who don't have a Savior so wonderful as Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Take somebody's hand next to you. God bless you, everyone. Happy Father's Day to all of our dads. We'll be here tonight at 7. And then just check the webpage for future service schedule this week. Let's give thanks. Father, thank you now for the people you love so much. As we go our own way, I pray that the cloud of your presence would envelop us. I pray that your protection would surround us. Pray that your provision would accompany us. Pray that your providence would lead us and your peace encircle us until we come together again. And everyone said,
amen,
amen and amen. God bless you, everyone. Have a